cast out from the Methodist Church. Not long after this, steps were taken by officers of the Chestnut Street Methodist Church to separate the Harmon family from its membership. Ellen recounted the traumatic experience. "The Methodist minister made us a special visit and took the occasion to inform us that our faith and Methodism could not agree. He did not inquire our reasons for believing as we did, nor make any reference to the Bible in order to convince us of our error, but he stated that we had adopted a new and strange belief that the Methodist Church could not accept. My father replied that he must be mistaken in calling this a new and strange doctrine, that Christ himself had preached his second advent to his disciples." Robert Harmon was prepared to quote scripture in defense of his faith, including the promises of Jesus himself that he would come again. "This is our offense," Harmon said, "believing the word of Jesus and his disciples. This is a very old doctrine, and bears no taint of heresy." The minister mustered no scripture text to prove the Harmons in error. Rather, he advised the family to withdraw quietly from the church and avoid the publicity of a trial. But this proposition Robert Harmon refused to accept, explained Ellen White. "We were aware that others of our brethren were meeting with similar treatment, for a like cause, and we did not wish it understood that we were ashamed to acknowledge our faith, or were unable to sustain it by Scripture, so my parents insisted that they should be acquainted with the reasons for this request." The family could not see that looking for the coming of their Savior constituted a wrong that called for separation from the church. Shortly they were notified to be present at a meeting to be held in the church vestry. Ellen told of what took place. "There were but few present. The influence of my father and his family was such that our opposers had no desire to present our cases before a larger number of the congregation. The single charge preferred was that we had walked contrary to their rules. Upon our asking what rules we had violated, it was stated, after a little hesitation, that we had attended other meetings and had neglected to meet regularly with our class. It was asked if we would confess that we had departed from their rules, and if we would also agree to conform to them in the future. We answered that we dared not yield our faith nor deny the sacred truth of God, that we could not forego the hope of the soon coming of our Redeemer, that after the manner which they called heresy we must continue to worship the Lord. My father in his defense received the blessing of God, and we all left the vestry with free spirits and happy in the consciousness of right and the approving smile of Jesus. The outcome was as expected, and there was no delay on the part of the church in dealing with the Harmon family. The next Sunday, according to the church records, September, 1843, at the commencement of Love Feast, the presiding elder, Charles Baker, read off our names, 7 in number, as discontinued from the church. He stated that we were not expelled on account of any wrong or immoral conduct, that we were of unblemished character and enviable reputation, but we had been guilty of walking contrary to the rules of the Methodist Church. He also declared that a door was now open and all who were guilty of a similar breach of the rules would be dealt with in like manner. Some of the members who held in their hearts the Advent hope soon withdrew from the church, but, observed Ellen, by some the favor of God was sold for a place in the Methodist Church. This is one of the early cases in connection with the proclamation of the soon coming of the Lord that the message of the second angel of seemed to apply: Babylon is fallen, that great city. The message was repeated in, with the added warning, "Come out of her, my people." It was to become clearly recognized a few months later, in the spring of 1844.